We'll be reading tonight toward the end of John chapter 18. I'll begin in verse 33. We'll give you a moment to find your place. John chapter 18, I'll begin in verse 33. We'll only read maybe four or five verses tonight, and then we'll begin. If you find your place, I'll ask you, if you would, if you're able, if you're willing, that you would stand for the reading of God's Word. Again, we do this out of respect for the Word of God.
Yeah.
Beginning in verse 33 of chapter 18 of the book of John, the Scriptures here read, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?"
Right.
Pilate answered him, "I, Jew, thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom's not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" That's a pretty good question. That's a pretty good question. I almost preached that one tonight. Is he a king in your life? Is he Lord? Do you believe that? "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?"
Right.
Lord Jesus, this evening, I ask you, Lord, if you will, please, to be with us here during this time as we read your word. Lord, and as we hear your word, I ask you, Lord, to bring it to us and make it alive in our hearts, Lord, to work your work. Do whatever it will, Lord, that you would do in our hearts, Lord, whether it be to correct or to comfort, whatever it might be, to establish or tear down. So be it according to your will. I pray you, Lord, be with me bodily in my voice and in my mind with clarity, that I might be able to preach, Lord, these things that you've laid upon my heart. I ask you, Lord, to move about the place, Lord. Let your spirit move freely. Lord, we ask you, Lord, that we might all, Lord, be convicted of our shortcomings and our sins. Lord, that we might all see where we're at. Lord, and see the necessity, Lord, of getting closer to you, Lord, and of getting things right with you. I ask you this, Lord, for we seek revival. And I ask you this in your precious and holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. And again, I tell you, if you're seeking revival now, I tell you, there's more to it than listening to what I have to say. And I have somewhat to preach to you tonight, if I'm able, if my voice will hold up. I have somewhat to preach to you tonight about what is truth, about truth. But I'm not here to give a lecture. I'm not really interested in making sure that I have 3 points that alliterate. And as a matter of fact, I don't, and I almost never do. And I don't care about that anyhow. What I care about is trying to get something to you that'll work inside your heart. If you really want to be revived, I tell you, there's more to it than listening to me tonight. But I tell you, examine yourself as you hear the Word, for I'll promise you that you've not yet attained to perfection, and there's something in you that you need to get straightened out with God, just as surely as I do, you do as well. And I tell you, when you hear the Word tonight, hear it with an open ear. And hear it examining not your neighbor but yourself. Yeah. And at the end of this thing, bring whatever you find to the altar.
Yeah.
I tell you, these things are not built to put coffee cups on.
No.
These things are not built for decorations in the church. But they're built so that you might bring your loads and your burdens and place them before the Lord, that you might get cleansed and that you might get right with God. And if you want revival tonight, do more than hear, but examine yourself as we look at the truth and bring yourself before God at the end of this service if you want revival tonight. I was looking at this, so what is truth? You know, we have a lot of arguments about that in this country. It's amazing the things we argue about. It's amazing. We live in a generation can't even figure out if they're boys or girls. Now, I'm telling you, we don't know nothing anymore. We don't know what truth is. We can't figure out anything. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what truth is tonight. First off, I'll tell you it's more than facts. That's right. Facts are things that you can figure out with math, basically, or figure out with science. You can figure out water boils at 212 degrees. That's a fact. But you can line up all the facts there is, and it won't help you with the truth. If I tell you, thou shalt not commit adultery, that's not a fact, that's a truth.
Amen.
Understand, I can't prove that with math, but I know it's so.
Exactly.
There's facts and then there's truth. We got a lot of people that have believed in the facts about the gospel that think they believe the truth of the gospel and don't know truth. Wouldn't know truth if it's standing all by itself in a 40-acre field with a name tag on. I'm telling you, there's more to truth than facts. First off, I'll tell you, truth is Jesus Christ. Truth is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that means that whatever you see in your Bible about truth, you can look at it and you can enter the name of Jesus and it'll fit just fine. There are some things in that Bible, you look anytime you see the word peace, you can enter in the name Jesus and it'll read perfect. Anytime you see the word truth, enter in Jesus and it'll read just perfect. Jesus is the truth. And if you don't know Jesus, you don't know the truth. You might know enough to get you through college and give you 12 PhDs, but you don't know the truth.
Amen.
And I tell you, all this, and I'm not knocking education. It's fine. You ought to get all you can get. But all the education in the world won't help you know the truth as much as some poor old ditch digger out there who knows Jesus Christ. He knows the truth.
That's good.
The Bible says of truth. Of course, Jesus let you know that He was the truth. When He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 8 and 32, says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let me park the car there for a minute. It don't say set you free. We sing that song, He set me free, and I love that song. It's a great song. But y'all, the word set free ain't in your Bible nowhere. That's right. Not if you got a Bible. The word set free ain't in your Bible. It says made free, and it says He'll make you free. You know what that means? You have to be recreated. You have to be born again. You have to be a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You have to be made free. You can't be set free. Why couldn't I be set free from my sins? Because I wasn't there with my sins because I didn't want to be there. I was there with my sins because I wanted to be with my sins. It wasn't enough to be set free. I had to be made free.
Amen.
Said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free.
Right.
John chapter 4 and 23 said, it speaks of how the truth is in all of our worship. It says, an hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And in truth. Any kind of worship that's not true is not worship. It's a mockery. It's an abomination before God. Any kind of worship that doesn't put Jesus Christ first. Any kind of worship that's not from the heart. Any kind of worship that has to do with glorifying self and flesh is an abomination and it's not truth. Worship has to be in spirit and in truth. And I love to hear people sing specials, but I'm going to tell you, it's not about the talent of the song singer. It's not about how much you can wiggle and flash your eyelashes. It's about whether or not you love God and it's going to come out in your song. John chapter 17. And verse 17, first off, tells us about sanctification. It says, sanctify them through the truth. We're sanctified through the truth. Through the truth. We're not sanctified by ourselves. You can make yourself sanctimonious, but you can't make yourself sanctified. You can only be sanctified by Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can help you. Hey, do you have a problem that you can't seem to get rid of? Hey, you know, I've had them. After I got saved, I still smoked. Now, I know you say, well, preacher, you ain't going to admit that. Why not? After I got saved, I still smoked and had a hard time with it. You know what? I was trying to quit and I couldn't quit. And finally asked the Lord and He let me quit. He made me quit. What you got to have is the power of Jesus Christ. You can't do it. Sanctify them through the truth. Not only that, but it tells us again, thy word is truth. Now, Jesus said, I am the truth. Now He says, thy word is truth. You understand that that word right there is the same as Jesus Christ. Do I understand that? No, but I believe it. Amen. You don't have to understand something to believe it. How many people think you have to understand something to believe it? You understand how that computer in your truck works? You believe he'll get you to the store? You believe something you don't understand, don't you? That's right. I don't understand everything about the nature of God, but I believe in him. Amen. If I had to understand electricity before I could get light out of that thing, I'd live in the dark. But I can believe it if I don't understand it. Amen. It says in Psalm 119, verse 142, "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth." And he's speaking of the Word of God again. And it says again in 119, 151, "Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth." So we have three testimonies in the Scriptures that this Word is truth. And as I told you last night, I believe that Word of God. And that's what keeps me going. I believe God.
Amen.
I ask you, who's on the Lord's side? Who believes God? Do you believe His Word? Amen. Like I said, I believe Jonah got swallowed by a whale. That's right, I do. I believe God created the world in 6 days. That's right. I believe thou shalt not commit adultery. That's right. I got a question for you. I wasn't planning on going here, but it's too late, I'm going.
Come on.
What would you call a man or a woman that would sit there and make out with somebody for money? What would you call somebody that would pay to watch him do it? I'd call him a moviegoer. How about that? You like apples? How's them apples? Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1 says, "Thy counsels are..." That's right. You know what you are if you go pay to see that. You know what they're doing is wicked. It don't say thou shalt not commit adultery unless you're an actor or an actress. It says thou shalt not. And if you're paying to watch it, then what does that make you? Well, I'd expect too many amens on that, but it's truth anyhow. It's truth anyhow. That's right. Jefferson Davis one time said the truth beat down in the street or beat down in the ground is still the truth. And it is. Isaiah chapter 25. And the first verse says, "Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." That means they ain't going to change. I said they ain't going to change. And you can come out and you can try to revise that Bible and you can take out verses and you can take out the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you can try to remove every reference to His blood, but no matter what you do, you hadn't changed the truth because Jesus is the truth. And you might try to go ahead and copyright another Bible, but you ain't changed the real one. And the truth remains the truth. And the truth is faithful and it's still the truth. And in Psalm 33 and 4, it says the Word of the Lord is right and all of His works are done in truth. Not only is His Word the truth, but His works are truth. Everything the Lord does is true. Whatever He does is right. Whatever He does to me is right. Wherever He puts me is right. Whether I like it or not. If He puts me in a hospital, His works are done in truth. How y'all like that? That's right. If He takes away every bit of money I got, His works are done in truth. It's truth. I can have faith in Him no matter what happens to me. If I end up the victim of an accident, if I end up the victim of disease, His works are done in truth. And all things work together for good. That's right. For those who are called according to His purpose, I tell you, His works are done in truth. In 1 John, in chapter 5, it tells us, because it tells us the Spirit is truth. And so Jesus is truth. And yet the Holy Ghost is truth. It says again in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, the Lord said, "I'll pray the Father, He'll give you another Comforter," speaking of the Holy Ghost of God, "that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." And I'll tell you, if you believe that you have the Holy Ghost indwelling you, you believe you have truth inside of you, and if you believe that will not do the works of truth, then you believe you're in defiance against the Spirit that lies inside you, and you do so to your own condemnation. But if you believe you have the Spirit of truth inside you, follow that Spirit and do works of truth as you Father in heaven. Amen. And it says in John chapter 15 and 26, again, "When the Comforter comes, who I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth." Again, if you're a child of God, and I ask you again, who's on the Lord's side? Amen. Do you believe that you have the Spirit of God indwelling within you? If not, I need to talk to you. You've either got confused or you don't know Him. I'll tell you, I knew that. I knew that without anybody ever telling me. That day I got saved, when I went down on the front of an altar, on the front of a pew, and it wasn't a church service either. I went down on that front of the pew, I was lost and undone. And when I stood up, I knew I was saved. Nobody had to tell me. I didn't have to get indoctrinated. I didn't have to go through a discipleship program to learn that I was saved. I knew I was saved. You know why? Because the Holy Ghost inside me told me that I was saved. I want to tell you, I'm a Holy Ghost or nothing preacher. If you ain't got the Spirit of God in you, you're not saved. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Amen. And that's the Spirit of truth. Truth. Truth is important. It's important. This is what we need. Psalm verse 51, it tells us that God desires truth. Yes. Psalm 51 in verse 6 says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." Inward parts, people. Inward parts. That's Jesus Christ inside of us. It's not enough for me and you to go to vacation Bible school, learn a few things, repeat a prayer, get up, say we're part of the church, go back to church again about three times when we're 30, and learn a little bit more, learn how to sing one or two songs. That ain't getting the truth inside you. That ain't getting it in you. It says, thou desireth truth in the inward parts. That means from your heart, truth ought to spring out. And if He's in you, you can't contain Him. He's too big for you to even understand. How can you contain Him? If you've got Jesus Christ in you, you can't keep Him bottled up. You can't help but tell people. It'll come out of your mouth. I mean, I don't know much, but I know what's in the well comes out of the bucket. And if you've got Him in your heart, it'll come out of your mouth. And Proverbs 23, verse 23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. You know what that means? That means if you're going to buy something, you're going to strive for it. You're going to seek after it. You're going to find out where it's at. And you're going to find a way to acquire it. You know how you do that? You get in that Bible and you read after it every day. And you try. And when you find something you don't understand, you're just not content with it. Lord, help me. Lord, help me understand this. Am I wrong here? Lord, it looks like I'm wrong right here. Am I wrong here? Buy the truth. And then sell it not. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. The truth. Isaiah 26 and 2. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Now when it says nation, it's not talking about Canada, United States, Mexico. It's talking about a group of people.
Yeah.
A group of people. But the people that keep the truth will enter in.
Yeah.
The people that keep the truth. I tell you, the mark of the sons and daughters of God is that they keep the truth. And the word keep in Scriptures means to guard it. Guard it. To be zealous of it.
Amen.
Those who keep the truth. In Psalms 86 and 11, He said, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in the truth.
Yeah.
Amen. Who's walking in the truth? Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I'm trying my best to walk in the truth.
Yeah.
And if you find out that I don't know the truth, you tell me.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's my desire to walk in the truth as much as I can and to stay out of the dark. I don't like the dark. Walk in the truth. And we find in Hosea, in chapter 4, we find there's a penalty for abhorring or hating the truth. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. How would you like for the Lord to have a controversy with you? You ever had a controversy with anybody? If I got a controversy with somebody, that means it's me against them. I think I got that right. I mean, I'm not too smart, but I think I got that right. The Lord hath a controversy with inhabitants of land because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. We need truth. We need truth. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's when you're playing around with that Word of God like it's something you can bend and twist any which way you want to, and you can make it fit any which way you want to. I read today an article. There was some professor at a seminary, I think it was Holy Cross, who had come up with some kind of thesis or some kind of idea that painted Jesus as a homosexual. And I thought, my goodness. Such foolishness, and of course the universities are full of it, and seminaries are full of it, unfortunately. That's holding the truth in unrighteousness.
That's right.
Trying to pick this Bible apart and find loopholes in here, that's holding the truth in unrighteousness.
Yeah.
When you get in here and say, I know what it says about love my enemy, but I'm not going to do it, and so let me find a way out of it. That's holding the truth in unrighteousness.
That's right.
You understand?
Yeah.
When it says the Lord loveth the cheerful giver, you say, well, I can be cheerful about giving a dollar to my church a year. That's holding the truth in unrighteousness.
Oh,
trying to find loopholes in this Bible. Trying to find a way out of being righteous. That's holding the truth in unrighteousness. And I believe I just read something about the wrath of God.
Yes, sir.
We find in 2 Thessalonians, in chapter 2 and verse 10, and it says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth.
Yeah.
You know how to get more truth? Love the truth. Love Him. How is it that I can get more of Jesus? Love Him. Love Him. If you love Him, you'll seek Him. If you love Him, you'll feel the sting of the rebuke anytime you do wrong. Amen. I hope I'm talking to people that will still admit they do wrong sometime. But if you're a child of God, I hope you feel the sting of that and the shame of that. Because sin has a shame and it has a sting. And if you're a child of God, if you have the Spirit of God inside you, you know that shame and that sting.
That's right.
But if you don't have the love of the truth, you can ignore it. And you can walk off and just keep doing it. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. I believe that's pretty prevalent. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Who believed not the truth. Do you believe the truth? Do you believe the truth? But had pleasure in unrighteousness. In Isaiah 43 and 8, it tells us what to do. It says, bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? It was in this chapter, it was speaking of how God showed the present things from times past. It said, let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified. In other words, if you got a God like God, go ahead and show them. Or let them hear and say, it is truth. What do you have to do? Humble yourself before the Word of God. Humble yourself before the truth and say, it is true. Humble yourself before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, what you said is true. Amen. And say, "What everything about me is wrong, but everything about you is right." Humble yourself and say, it is truth. It is true. And in 1 Timothy in chapter 3 and verse 15, we find here where the church itself has to be built on the truth. Listen, we're not built on building programs. We're not built on conferences. We're not built on a denominational name. We're not built on a charter. We're not built on a creed. We're not built on any of that. But we're built on the truth. In 1 Timothy 3 and 15, Paul said, speaking to Timothy, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God. Amen. I believe you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. I don't believe it's supposed to be a romper room. I don't believe it's supposed to be a fun house. I believe it's supposed to be a sanctuary. And it's supposed to be a place where we reverence God. It's the house of God. He said, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. We are supposed to be the keepers of the truth. So I believe it's imperative then, and I'm about ready to get started on this thing. It's imperative then that we should know what the truth is. That we should be familiar with the truth. That the truth is something that we seek after, that we're familiar with. And I want to tell you just a few things about the truth. And then after that, I'll probably wrap it up. But the first thing I'd tell you about the truth, because Pilate asked, what is truth? Now, we've talked about truth all this time. And I say, what is truth? The first thing I'd tell you about the truth is the truth is fixed. It's unchangeable. It's absolute. Or it's not the truth. If it's different tomorrow than it is today, it's not the truth. If it's the truth, it won't change. It's the same for everybody. And that's right. You know, if it meant for me to be saved, that I had to die to myself, it means the same thing for you. I can't give you another gospel. There's only one. The truth is the same for me. It's the same for you. It's the same for everybody. And if there's something that's right for me, it's right for you. And if it's wrong for me, it's wrong for you. I can't preach to my people. I know the Bible says this, but y'all don't worry about it. And if you see me holding up some standard in my life that I live by, don't ask me any questions about whether or not you have to do it or not, because all I can tell you is I'm doing it because I believe it's right. And if I believe it's right, then I believe it's right for you too.
Amen.
If you don't want to hear it, don't ask me.
Yeah.
The truth's the same for everybody. It's non-negotiable. That means you can't cut no deals. If you get saved, you'll get saved on the terms of the gospel. If you're going to be a Christian, it won't be because your preacher said so, or your mama said so, or your grandmama said so. It'll be because Jesus Christ Himself said so. It'll be with the witness of the Holy Ghost inside you, or it won't be done. There's no negotiations. I don't care how good of a salesman you are. You're not going to talk God into a corner and make a deal with Him.
Amen.
He's already laid out the terms. He said, you must be born again.
Amen.
You must be born again.
Yeah.
The truth don't change.
No.
They say, I've heard people say, well, in this dispensation, we get saved by grace. I'm going to tell you something. It's the only way anybody ever did get saved. If God hadn't had grace on anybody, nobody had ever got saved. Never will. It's only by God's grace anybody ever gets saved. They say, well, in this dispensation we get saved by faith. Well, boy, aren't you smart. That's the way people have always got saved. That's the way Abraham got saved. That's the way anybody that's ever going to get saved gets saved. Nobody's ever been able to work their way in. Nobody ever will be able to work their way in. And to think that any man might be able to do so is arrogant and it's an affront to God. If that were possible, why did Jesus come down? Why did He die on a cross if that were possible? The truth is fixed. Absolutely fixed. It's unchangeable.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Which brings me to the second thing. If it's unchangeable, it has to be eternal. That's right. Because if I can't move the truth from one place to another tomorrow, then I can't move it the day after either. And if it got moved yesterday, it wasn't the truth. The truth is not only fixed and non-negotiable, but it's eternal.
Amen.
Eternal. That's right. That means the rules never change. Never change. Never. Never. But this is the year 2018, preacher. They said that garbage when I was a kid. It wasn't 2018, it was 1970-something. But they said it, this is 1974. Like that impresses God. What year this is don't matter. What's right and what's wrong never change, never. And we have quite a few young folks in here.
Come on, man.
Let me drop a plow a little.
Yes.
Honor thy father and mother has never changed.
That's right.
And if your mother or your father says no, shut up.
Amen. That's good. Amen.
Super preaching.
Amen.
By the way, all y'all grown folks, if you'll drop mom or daddy off in the nursing home and never go see them, somebody come explain to me how that's honoring your father and your mother.
Right. Come on.
Because not only does it never change from generation to generation, but just because you get older don't mean it changes either.
That's right. That's right.
And what's not good for your kids ain't good for you.
Come on.
If there's anywhere out there that says adults only, don't go.
That's right.
If it ain't fit for kids to go in there, I ain't going in there.
Amen.
If it ain't fit for kids to read, I ain't reading it.
That's right.
Yeah. If you don't want your kids to see it, don't have it in your house.
Amen.
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 Right's right and wrong's wrong.
Yeah.
It don't change and it is eternal.
Right.
Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Forever. You say you ain't giving me no hope. Not in your flesh, I ain't.
Amen.
That's right. Because if there's anything in you that's rebelling against what God has down, it's your flesh. And no, I'm not going to leave your flesh any room.
No.
No, sir. Absolutely not. I'm still old-fashioned enough to preach against dancing.
Come on, bro.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right. I think they can have all the dance halls they want to as long as they say no alcohol and everybody has to dance with their own wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know good, I mean, you know good and well what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
You know good and well what all that is. It's a meat market. And I wasn't planning on preaching that, but if a rabbit don't want it, a rabbit don't want chase, they ain't got no business poking his head up.
That's right.
The truth is fixed.
Yeah.
The truth is eternal.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. There can only be one truth.
Amen.
See, if you have two truths, sooner or later it'll be in conflict.
That's right.
You don't believe that? You go ahead and try to set two rules in any workplace and see if there ain't somebody somewhere. Don't try to twist one against the other.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
There can only be one truth.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? I'm saying there can only be one Jesus Christ. There can only be one God.
Amen.
And you can't make up a new version of Jesus either.
No.
You're going to have to take Him like He is. There ain't no hippie Jesus.
No.
There ain't none of that.
No.
And this world loves hippie Jesus. They love this love, 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 love. But if you listen to what Jesus said, if you listen, yes, He loves you, but He hates sin.
Right.
He preached on hell 13 or 14 times, depending on who you're listening to, and heaven once or twice.
Yeah.
And so when your preacher stands up here and burns the paint off the walls and burns the paneling down preaching about hell the third time in 4 weeks, listen to it.
Amen. Yeah.
There's only one truth. It says in Ephesians in chapter 4, it says, beginning in verse 4, it says there's one body. There's one church, people.
Yeah.
There's only one.
Yeah.
And you can argue, you can fuss, and you can fight all you want to about the names outside. And there's more churches around here than you can shake a stick at. But y'all, there's only one.
Amen.
There's only one.
Yeah.
There's one body and one spirit. Even as you're calling, one hope.
Right.
Of your calling. You know what we're all hoping for? Well, what are you hoping for? I'm hoping for heaven. I'm hoping I'm going to live with the Lord Jesus Christ eternally, everlastingly. Amen. I'm looking for everlasting life. I believe in it. I believe I'm already an inheritor of everlasting life. There's one hope of our calling. We ain't going to separate heavens, y'all. There ain't but one. Ain't but one. You might as well get along with your brothers and sisters here because you're going to be with them in heaven if you're going to be there. It says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's right. One baptism. You preaching baptism? Yes. We're all baptized by one Spirit into one body. It says one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. One. One. There's one way. And that's it. By the way, the Bible goes several times into talking about just weights and unjust weights. I'm going to get into this real quickly here, if you don't mind. Here in Proverbs, in chapter 11, first verse, it says, "A false balance is an abomination of the Lord, but a just weight is His delight." And you'll understand in a minute where I'm going. I'm going somewhere with this. What he's talking about in that time, the people were often known for cheating you. They would weigh something out to buy it with one weight, and weigh something out to sell it with another weight. You may have seen a butcher do that before. You see, that's a little bit of cheating, isn't it? Well, that's an abomination to the Lord, but there's more to it than that. As a matter of fact, he covers it in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 10. He says, "Diverse weights and diverse measures, both of them are alike, abomination to the Lord." He said, you're cheating with all this, and God hates it. He hates a lie. He says, "Diverse weights are an abomination to the Lord, and a false balance is not good." Now, let me tell you why that's all in the Scriptures. Because the Scriptures are spiritually written, by the way, and must be spiritually discerned. And there's more to that than just this thing about weights. What it's saying is there ought to be one way to judge a thing and not two. And to judge it one way when you buy it, one way when you sell it, is wrong. There ought to be one measuring stick and that's it. Let me tell you something. If you're holding up yourself against your preacher and against this other man over here, the Bible says comparing themselves among themselves, they were not wise. You know what they were using? Diverse weights and diverse balances. They were using a false weight because there's only one true weight. There's only one true measuring stick, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And there ain't no sense in saying, "I'm just as good as them hypocrites down the church," because you ain't going to be measured against them hypocrites down the church. Besides that, you're the hypocrite getting measured, and you're going to be measured by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we stand in the judgment on that day, we won't be measured against each other, but we'll be measured against the true weight. Hey, how do you measure up? How do you measure up?
Yeah, I'm warming.
How do you measure up? Ain't no sense comparing yourself to me. I know you're prettier. I know you're smarter. I know. I know I stumble and I stutter and everything else. Yeah, and you're right. But you're not going to be judged against me.
No.
It ain't going to be that easy for you. You ain't going to be judged against Daniel.
No.
And I'm a long way short of that. You're not going to be judged against Paul.
No.
You're not going to be judged against Moses.
That's right.
You're going to be judged against that one perfect and true way, the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you while I was preaching this when we started, what is there about you that falls short of the Lord Jesus Christ? What's on your heart right now? Right now, that falls short. Because when we give an altar call, I would like for you to, there's nothing I can command you to do, but I would like for you to, having examined yourself, to ask the Lord to help you with whatever it is. Because you're like me. I tell my church this all the time. You ain't no better than me. And I know me. And that ain't much. And you fall short too. And I would like for you to, if you plan to be revived this week, you already know what's on your heart. You don't have to have me ask you questions. You know. You know what you've done. You know what you've said.
Yeah.
You know what you've thought.
Come on.
I would like for you to bring it before the Lord.
Yeah.
The truth is fixed, unchangeable, absolute. The truth is eternal.
Yeah, that's right.
The truth is singular. There's only one truth. There's one way. The truth, by the way, is exclusive. We don't like that word anymore. Everything's supposed to be inclusive and tolerant. But I'm going to tell you, the truth is exclusive and it is intolerant. The truth is intolerant.
Right.
Yeah.
The truth will not tolerate a lie.
No.
Right.
Will not.
No.
By trade, I'm an aircraft mechanic.
Man.
And when we inspect things, sometimes we have to measure.
Yeah.
And when we have to measure something for wear, if it says it can be, it needs to be at least 625 thousandths, and I measure it and it's 623, you know what? It's rejected.
Right.
See, the truth is intolerant.
Amen.
What doesn't measure up doesn't measure up.
Right.
It's exclusive.
Yeah.
That thing I measured just went outside the truth.
Right.
It cannot be included.
No.
In that case, it's an airworthy part, but it can't be included as something acceptable.
That's right.
It's unacceptable. It's outside the truth.
Amen.
That means that there can be no other gospel. Because there's only one.
Right.
In the book of Galatians, in chapter 1, a couple of verses I have marked. In verses 8 and 9 says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." You know what he said by accursed? He's talking about somebody, be it a person or an angel, who's doomed and damned to spend eternity in a burning hell. And that's what Paul said about anybody that would preach another gospel. He said, as we've said before in verse 9, "So say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed."
That's right.
By the way, you know, Mormonism and Islam both got their start from somebody who said that an angel preached them another gospel.
Right.
You know, a little bit of reading in that Bible would have cured that right off.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
There's only one gospel.
Come on, brother.
There's only one way. And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's only one. The gospel is exclusive. It's intolerant. And the gospel is exposing. It's exposing. The truth is exposing. There's only two measurements I know of on the face of this earth that you can take with no calibrated instruments whatsoever. And one of them is a spirit level or water level. You don't have to have anything calibrated. You pour water out and it will seek its own level.
Oh, yeah.
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 And if you pour water out over a concrete slab you just laid, guess what you will find? You'll find low spots if you have them.
Yeah.
It will tell on you.
Yeah.
It is, the truth does expose falsehood. It exposes a lie. I have several brick masons and stone masons in my family. My grandfather was a stone mason. And you can go out and lay brick or stone against a house. And if you begin at the bottom and get it a little crooked, you can try to go straight from there, or you can try to slowly go back so everybody can't tell. But the other thing that, well, you can absolutely find truth by is a plumb line.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. A plumb line. And I'm going to tell you, a crooked wall hates a plumb line.
Oh, yeah.
Because the truth will expose error every time.
That's right.
Every time. And if you've built yourself up to where you look straight enough in the eyes of man, that's not what you're going to be judged against.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And by the way, water level and a plumb line.
Yeah.
A perpendicular, and they meet in a cross.
Right. Amen. That's good.
It's the perfect measurement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The truth will expose you.
Yes, indeed.
Have you been willing then to love the truth? Because when you love the truth, you're going to love something that's going to expose you.
Amen.
Do you like to hide? Then you don't love the truth.
Yeah.
Do you like to hide your faults and flaws? Then you don't love the truth.
That's right.
But if you love the truth, you love it knowing that your faults, your flaws, your shortcomings, your sins, let's call them what they are.
Amen.
Your sins are exposed before God.
That's right.
Well, fortunately, there's one more thing about the truth that I'd like to bring to you before I close. And that's something I've found in the Scriptures about mercy and truth. You see, because if the truth exposes me and the sinfulness of my flesh, and the wickedness of the thoughts that have gone through my head, what is it I need? I need mercy.
Oh,
I'm telling you, I pray every morning for mercy. I hope you do.
Yes, amen.
You need it too.
Yes, amen.
Don't lie to me. You need it too. Just because you look pretty out there don't mean that you don't need it. I ain't the only one that has to fight against my flesh. You do too. And if you've been exposed by the truth, you need mercy. But I find that mercy and truth, when they're recorded together, always speak of Jesus Christ. In Psalm 85 and 10, it says, mercy and truth are met together. Think about that. How do you get mercy and truth to meet together anyhow? How is it possible to have that to have the condemnation of being exposed met up with the mercy of covering it? Only in Jesus Christ, who lived the perfect life, which exposed me for who I was, but yet died for my sins in mercy. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Psalm 25 and 10 says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. All the paths, that's the way. Who said He was the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Can I tell you that whatever the Lord tells you to do, there's mercy in it. It's not only true that you need to, but He's got mercy for you. If you'll just follow Him, He'll give you the mercy you need. He's not going to condemn you if you're trying to follow Him.
Amen.
The Lord will help you.
Amen.
It says in Psalm chapter 57 and verse 3, said, He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth His mercy and His truth. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says in Psalm 89 and 14, justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Speaking of the Lord being sent from heaven, Proverbs 3 and verse 3, that great advice that was given to the child from Solomon, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Oh boy, if you can't do anything else, listen to me. If you're still at home with your mother and father, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Look, whatever you do, don't go out into that world without Jesus Christ. It'll chew you up. I'm telling you, it'll consume you. You might think you're going to go out and enjoy it for a while, but you have no idea of how wicked and evil that world is and how much it'll consume you. I don't know how many times I've seen teenagers who've left the church and went out on their own, and within 2 to 3 years were consumed with drugs, coming home pregnant. I'm telling you, let not mercy and truth forsake you. I'm telling you, bind it about your neck and write it on the table of your heart.
Amen.
Proverbs 16 and 6 says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. I think about that. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged.
Yeah.
Look, all of them things inside you that you hate so much, or I hope you hate them, if you don't hate the wickedness inside you, you're lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you got the Spirit of God in you, you hate the wickedness of your flesh.
That's right. Yeah.
And all that iniquity that's in there, David said, my iniquities are more than the hair on my head. He couldn't stand it.
That's right.
Yeah. I know how he felt. I can't stand it about me.
That's right.
Yeah.
By mercy and truth,
yeah,
iniquity is purged.
Yeah.
You know what he's saying? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. It's by mercy and truth that iniquity is purged. Listen, what is it about you that you need out of you? What is it about you that you need victory over? What is it that you fall short on? Where is it? That what is it that's keeping you from having revival in your life? By mercy and truth,
right,
iniquity is purged.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, we love truth. But oh, it hurts me sometimes. But I thank God the truth doesn't come alone.
Amen.
It said grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And mercy and truth speak to Jesus Christ. Yes, I preach to you of truth, and I know that you can't stand the truth, and I can't either. But I can tell you that I have to look at the truth to know I need mercy.
Oh, man.
And if you've looked at yourself tonight,
that's right,
you know you need it too.
Amen.
I'm about to close it out, and I'll turn it over to Brother Scott here in a moment. But I don't want you to just come to an altar because you think you have to.
Amen.
But I would that you would consider your own self.
Yeah.
That you would measure your own self. Do you really want revival?
Yeah.
You need clean hands. You need to be clean before the Lord. Would you come be clean tonight? Come, every soul, by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now.